The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its last days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances. But not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Like many of you, I enjoy receiving Christmas cards in the mail, whether it's a beautiful image of Bethlehem or a picture of your family. I receive them from family members, friends, parishioners, and like many of you who make a display in your home of all the ones you've received, I put them on the door, inside door of my office so that year-round. So that anytime I'm walking through there, I can see them as a source of joy, but also see it as a cause for prayer for the families on that door. I look at those photos, and oftentimes they're so beautiful and impressive, and especially with those with young children, maybe this is really mean of me, but I actually think about the before and after moments of that photograph. Like, I think of, like, if little siblings either pinching or punching or whining or screaming or crying or yelling. But for a brief moment, they're looking into the camera and, God willing, maybe they've been smiling and we got it. And that's the picture that's given. And despite the polish of the Christmas card, when we look at our own families, we can confidently say that our families are not always picture perfect. There are family members, family dynamics that are often messy, very messy. And there's times where we have the feeling that no one else has the messes. It feels like everyone else has their act together. No one else has issues or conflicts, or I feel like I'm the only one. And we're left being discouraged, maybe even jealous, maybe resentful of those families who seem to be all together. But today I tell you that you're not the only one with a messy family. Whether it's through conversations with individuals in my office, or conversations with couples in my office, or conversations with families in my office, or whether it's the hours of confessions we heard during Advent, we know there are messes in every family. And it's not as if God is presenting this idea of the family as picture perfect when we read the sacred scriptures. Just a brief review of the early chapters of Genesis. We think of Adam and Eve, who cause each other to sin and then blame each other for the sinning act. So already dysfunction enters in. Cain and Abel, enough said. Abraham, who becomes impatient with his infertile wife, Sarah, who has Ishmael with Hagar. And once Sarah does have her son, he pushes Ishmael out of the house. Talk about dysfunction. Jacob is deceptive with his brother Esau to gain the blessings of the firstborn, and even deceives his father to obtain the blessings of the firstborn. Jacob's sons all conspire to kill their brother Joseph and ended up throwing him in a well and then selling him into slavery. David commits adultery, and his sons have incredible jealousy and rivalry. And in a very different way, even the Holy Family wasn't picture perfect. They had their challenges and difficulties, and many of them you know. Mary had a very long journey, very pregnant, on a donkey to Bethlehem. The child was born in a barn. They had to flee to Egypt to escape murder. Years later, Jesus is lost for 3 days, which is what we heard in the gospel today, and his finding of him in the temple. And then later, tradition says that they experienced loss and heartache, that Joseph died before Christ began his public ministry. And I recall all of this throughout all of sacred scripture. Yes, to say you're not alone. There are messes in every family, whether it's illness, infertility, job loss, death, addiction, infidelity, mental illness, narcissism, materialism, resentments, pride, jealousy, laziness, mere human weakness, you name it, our families have it, my family included. But I don't just tell you these things just to make you feel better about your mess. I tell you these things, this is precisely why the Son of God entered this world as he did. From the beginning, the very first chapter and two of Genesis, marriage and family was designed by God. Each individual is made in the image and likeness of God, but he made them male and female. And in that context of married life and family life, husband and wife were to love each other so much that, like the Trinity, they would generate the third person, that the family was supposed to be an image of God in the world. But because of sin, that image has been marred individually within us, and as a family, things got messy. Christ came to restore what was lost, to heal what was wounded, to make holy that which is fallen. The Son of God could have come in glory, just like he ascended into heaven after his resurrection in glory. But he didn't come that way. He came into a human family precisely to sanctify and restore the family, to make it a holy family like his own. And so just a few practical thoughts today on this feast of the Holy Family, which is always the Sunday after Christmas, to first of all maybe make a pledge in this coming year, maybe it's your New Year's resolution. If you have the tendency to get discouraged when you look on social media, other families, maybe cut it out. It can't be fruitful to look at the perfection or supposed perfection of others and only become discouraged. Number two, married couples here today, you know, whether you've been married a few months or several decades, it takes much work. It is in marriage that we learn the ways of forgiveness, of generosity, of sacrifice. It takes work, but marriage, if Christ wants to sanctify it, Christ wants to be at the center of it. So my first suggestion is, yes, to pray. To pray with your spouse, if possible. Not just at mealtimes. It's something odd that spouses maybe could share a bed, but not their faith. So something must change there to let Christ into that marriage to sanctify it. And if you find in your marriage it feels stuck, I wish to tell you that it is not dramatic, it is not odd, it is not extraordinary to read a book about marriage together or to go to some sort of marriage enrichment experience together, whether it's a retreat or a class, or to actually go to a third option session, which is offered by our diocese, or to see a counselor or a therapist. Those are not extraordinary measures in the big picture of things. Secondly, if you are blessed to be a father, to live your fatherhood like St. Joseph, in which he provided and protected the Holy Family, And so many fathers in this parish do such a wonderful job, especially on the physical and material level. But I wish to encourage you in your place, in your family, what is much more needed is to provide spiritual leadership and a spiritual example of loving Christ above all else, of speaking of your faith and living virtue. Yes, to protect your family from physical dangers, but most importantly, to protect them from spiritual harm, most especially in the realm of chastity, respect, and modesty. If you are blessed to be a mother, thank God for it and live your motherhood like Mary did, who taught and nourished her son. And I especially mean on the spiritual level. A mother must first digest the Word of God to feed the Word of God. So nourish your own spiritual life, and so your teaching can be much more authentic and your nourishing can be long-lasting. So many mothers work so hard to make their children picture perfect. And while some of those efforts are noble, it's much more important to ensure that their inside, their soul, is more beautiful than ever. In the end, we're reminded today on this Feast of the Holy Family that your children do not belong to you. In the first reading, we had the story of Hannah, who prayed and prayed that God would overcome her infertility and give her a gift of a child. And God grants her prayer after many long years. And her first instinct is to give that child back to God and leave him in the temple. You can imagine the emotional turmoil. But she knew, just as Mary and Joseph did, that their son belonged to God, that he is consecrated and set apart. And so if you've had your children baptized, they have been set apart. They have been consecrated to God for his purposes. So as a family, pursuing holiness, encourage your children to do the will of God, to glorify him with their lives. Yes, marriage and family is the school of faith and the school of love. Our task today and every day is to let Christ enter our messes. It's what he came to do. We stand now and profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Inspired by the holiness and piety of the family of Nazareth, we now ask the Lord to hear our prayers on this family day.
For the church, that her members will be strengthened, purified, and renewed through the grace of Christ's body and blood, let us pray to the Lord. For the universal respect of the dignity of the human person, and that the culture of life will transform every human heart, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
that parents will recognize the grace of each child's vocation and prayerfully encourage their children to consider serving Christ in the priesthood or consecrated religious life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our catechumens and candidates, that the Heavenly Father may reveal Christ to them more and more each day. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For family members who are alienated or estranged, that the unfailing power of Jesus will reunite and reconcile loved ones. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the recipient of this week's parish tithe, Christmas in Action, Hamilton County Incorporated, that through its work, the needy, the disabled, and the elderly may know the Father's providence and mercy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the repose of the soul of Bradford Bego, for whom this Mass is offered, and for all our deceased loved ones, that they may be gathered into the eternal joy of our heavenly home. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Father in heaven, by subjecting himself to Mary and Joseph, your son sanctified home life in Nazareth. As we offer our prayers, help us to follow his example, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.
Please join in singing on page 578 of the Blue St. Michael Hymnal, In the Bleak Midwinter, page 578.
Water like a stone, snow.